At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Well, a very good Fat Tuesday. Race fans, Mardi Gras fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. I'm listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And boy, oh boy, it's a mess. And that includes here, where we've got, I don't know, half an inch of half an inch of ice. And I mean, you're seeing images from around the country and temperatures. The whole thing is a little scary, no more so than in Arkansas. We're going to talk to Hammer in about 10 minutes and get the latest, the specifics. You might have seen, if you didn't, late yesterday afternoon, early evening, I told you that Oaklawn was going to be meeting yesterday to make some determinations about how to handle what is now, you got a state of emergency in Texas, and I imagine Arkansas won't be far behind, because not only is there the snow and the, you know, sub-freezing temperatures. I saw a map. Hammer sent me a snapshot of the a TV weather map. It was minus seven in Fayetteville, minus one in Hot Springs. And, it's not relenting, and they're expecting more snow there tomorrow. And there's not a plow to be found. They can't put down anything. Can't put down salt. It's a national park. So I don't even think they've got salt and sand spreaders. So it's a scene, and just hope everybody is staying safe as best and warm as best they can. Power, you know, the power outages issue, and I mean, this is scary, and I heard from a few people that read that piece about the 1895. It's almost identical. It's incredible. 126 years later, Valentine's Day, the 14th and 15th, across the same region, and the rest of the effects. So take it slow, careful, easy. Hope you've got power. Hope you're, you know, or, you know, got a wood burning stove, something. It's unrelenting. Let's put it that way. One seeming crisis after another. So stay calm, stay focused. And we'll get you through at least the next 3 hours with lots of horse talk and a nice, fun, eclectic morning here as well. Still plenty to review from the weekend and yesterday. And, of course, it's, as mentioned, you know, here we are with Lent bearing down and Ash Wednesday tomorrow. And a traditional Mardi Gras card at the fairgrounds, and we'll keep an eye on the conditions there. I mean, it seemed like everybody, I guess the survey that we took yesterday with the four trainers that had entered horses in the Mardi Gras, Brendan Walsh, Chris Block, Michelle Lovell, and Al Stahl, it was pretty much 3-1 that we'd be off the turf. It's funny, early in the morning, the first conversation was with Michelle, where it didn't seem like the rain was all that terrible. And then was it with Al that, yeah, it was with Al, I think, later in the morning with Al Stahl, that you could hear the rain teeming down on the shed row. So it's still a very good card, even if those turf races come off. You got that maiden special sixth with a 14 horse and an MTO and an AE. So that should hold together. And then, you know, the main track portions of the pick five and pick four, that seventh race allowance going six, and a maiden special for the three-year-old boys that Al had that pair in, Abdan and Autumn Rage. And Asmussen with the run. You know, the one horse I did not, I've completely forgot to bring up with Steve. There were so many other winners and things to catch up with Steve Asmussen yesterday that I did not bring up Alejandro. And I'll get an update from him or from Blasi, this morning. All right. Cause I, you know, the Rachel fans, we count ourselves among those, so give you a quick rundown. I mentioned Hammer. He'll join us, and we'll catch up on how things are going to unfold. The entire weekend already gone. Forget it. Oaklawn. And they will resume racing on the 25th. Obviously, the track is going to freeze, and it, you know, will not, you know, might not even thaw by the weekend. And they were sensing this late last week, and you heard Hammer on Thursday. I think he was telegraphing that this was a possibility. So it obviously throws the whole, you know, the whole schedule for three-year-olds in the region. It throws in a wrinkle for the Southwest participants. And, you know, waiting until the 27th. And they're going to spread those stakes, you know, because obviously there's also stakes scheduled for that weekend, you know, under normal conditions. So they're going to spread the stakes out over the 4 days, the 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th. And we'll get all that from Hammer. All right, so we'll save that. Safi Joseph, who we couldn't connect with yesterday, we ended up filling up the docket. So Safi Joseph this morning to talk about the nice pair of winners, and in addition to Mischievous Alex and his effort, also provides an opportunity to talk about Drain the Clock, the McLean's Music Colt, the May foal that Nick Quesada and the Slam Dunk team, and there's really a nice group that's involved in Drain the Clock. Who won off and took the swale impressively. So perfect opportunity to discuss both of these stake wins with Safi Joseph. And, you know, Mischievous Alex, as I said yesterday, and Nick, I kind of ran it by Nick if you were listening to the last hour of the replay. And, you know, this is obviously going to be an important sprinter as a four-year-old. For Cassius King and LC. And, it's amazing. Into Mischief, out of a Spitestown mare. This was a Windstar bred colt. And, you know, you'll recall, of course, that John Service started him and, you know, had a very solid campaign as a three-year-old, including the Gotham win. Got some Gotham news, actually, to talk about. And then, you know, was off from the Jerkins into the winter. So we'll get all the specifics. And this is really, for Cassius King, that has, you know, really managed to, you know, have continuity and consistent success ever since a Fleet Alex. And, this was a $75,000 Keeneland yearling. So a reasonable purchase. And Chuck Zachney and partners. So we'll find out what the schedule is. And it didn't take long. Safi Joseph, if you saw the post-race interview, he was talking Carter, grade one opportunity. As we call it around here, the Andy Serling Carter handicap. Andy's going to be with us in hour three, and we'll talk to Andy about the week's racing. We've got a visit with Kim Weir. TRF is going to join us, and they've got another big function coming up. So we'll catch up with Kim, and I'm harboring thoughts of a conversation in hour two as well that is kind of pending. I'll hold off on the specifics, but you know, kind of a informative. It's typically something that slot is usually traditionally been a doctor all day, a horse health today. But I don't know if you saw the little piece by Jay Privman yesterday about life is good's work, and I mentioned the Gotham, and there's a couple of things that came out of yesterday's training and some of the news. Freedom Fighter is going to come for the Gotham. Manny Franco is going to ride the one. And you know, Baffert hasn't really used this avenue all that often, sending him east with this timing. And most importantly, and what my hint was, life is good. And I haven't watched the XBTV workout yet, but Jay talked about what Baffert's done with him, including a bit change. And we haven't had one of those conversations in a long time. I usually go to Woodbury for that, to Woody Payne. And so we'll see if Wood can join us and talk about this. I mean, you'll recall that Vijack was probably the last horse that, you know, had a high profile bit discussion, you know, that was triggered. And it's one of the things that it frankly isn't, you know, when it comes to equipment, you know, blinkers, you know, obviously the importance, you know, the blinkers are the most, I think, readily apparent change. I mean, look at Mandaloon. But when it comes to subtle changes and work to adjust a horse and to deal with certain things, bit changes are invaluable, and they don't get discussed enough. And there's all different varieties for more control. You got horses, you know, this has come up with Tony. In fact, something that maybe on Thursday, we haven't had a chance. You know, Tony's been tied up the last couple of weeks, so maybe we can do that with Tony too on Thursday. But, you know, horses with delicate mouths, there's all different reasons. You know, I famously bring up Funny Side as a horse who benefited from a bit change, late in his two-year-old career and beginning of his three-year-old career, a sensitive mouth and, you know, rubber bits, leather bits, as opposed to metal hardware. There's real subtlety to this. And Baffert changing a bit on Life is Good and essentially wanting him to relax. And apparently, you know, based on Jay's observation and conversation, he was terrific yesterday. And if Life is Good is going to be harnessed, you know, and it doesn't, you know, doesn't blunt him in any way, boy, he'll be a handful going forward. He's a handful anyway, but you know, the idea is to harness that speed a little bit and control it and met it out, as they say. So I want to do that, because for those that have never heard that discussion, when Woodbury gave us that treatise, probably 5-6 years ago, and it lit up. People really appreciated hearing it, because, you know, if you're just casual about the game and aren't, you know, involved in that kind of, you know, conversation, you can't appreciate enough, you know, how important it can be. So we'll get that done. And if not today, then this week. All right. A couple of things on the racing front. Yesterday, and you did have the two stakes, and Aqueduct, after we talked to Nick, how about the win from my boy Tate in the Holly Hughes, and this is Little Red Feather, and Michelle Nevin, and much like Michelle Lovell, a horse that Michelle Nevin bred. This is the Boys of Tuscanova. 7-year-old and kind of a house favorite, house horse for Michelle and the team. And Manny Frank, he won this easy. You know, Tribeca, who kind of knows one direction, speaking of 7-year-olds, to the lead. And my boy Tate, patiently handled by Franco to overhaul everybody and win. And actually, and paid what? Paid $10? $6. $10 was control group earlier. And then on the West Coast, you had a couple of interesting results. Superstition from On the Pace and you know, Flavian Pratt, who won a hatful of races over the weekend. Flavian Pratt, you know, won Sweet Life on Sunday, comes back and wins for Mandela and the Bass team. Another Windstar bred, Superstition, the 4-year-old Go Sapper filly. And Mandela, of course, a little under 5-1. Alexandra, and Alexandra had, you know, with Rosario, had plenty of pace to close into. You know, that's her M.O., but just was not going to get to Superstition, who was kept close and took over and wins. In addition, there was also a couple of other interesting results. In that maiden race, a mile and a 16th, I haven't checked for figures, but Hosier and Fenway, they both ran well. Fenway, you know, who failed as a first-time starter, but they both ran better in here. And Hosier, the Pioneer of the Nile, also Windstar for the Powerhouse Partnership, SF, and Starlight, and Matticat, and Stone Street, and, oh my God, Golconda, and and of course, SF and company, and I think virtually everybody, the same partners for the most part, I think, in Fenway as well. So Hosier breaks through. We'll watch for a figure, and I guess we, in some way, we did achieve herd immunity yesterday, at least in the fourth race. Yeah, because herd immunity for Eclipse and Peter Miller wins with Pratt and got claimed by Costa, Aronis, and Sadler. And in fact, they were busy because they also claimed a horse out of the third. So some new faces on the shed row for Sadler and company. Case, Hammer, if we could. Yeah. All right. And while we're doing this, actually, on the West Coast, there was also haven't had a chance to reach. Maybe we'll get to Michael McCarthy, because I did notice that race late in the afternoon that McCarthy had an Exaggerator filly win. There it is. A real hero. And, of course, Michael and the Fradkins combined for that win with Rombauer in the El Camino Real as well. So Michael getting some getting some winners in SF. And actually, he came. It's funny, he came into the weekend with a first and a second already. So another couple of wins. So when Michael sends him up to Golden Gate, he's shipping with intent. Hammer standing by, and I imagine that he's ensconced at home and safe and warm, where Hot Springs being just assaulted by this storm. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning. We wanted 2021, and we got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like Jim Cantore, the Weather Channel from out here in the Hot Springs. Well, I finally got to see it. I was waiting this morning. The temperature at one point this morning was 0.0, a Blutarsky weather alert.
Nice. Nice. I that map you sent me last night. In fact, I forwarded it to Dave Hill. I couldn't believe it. I mean, -7 in Fayetteville and crazy. But as you kind of hinted, if anybody was reading between the lines, Rick, on Thursday when we talked about the canceled weekend, you were sort of foreshadowing that there was no guarantee that this plan was going to work and you'd be able to run the weekend on the 20th and 21st, so now tabled further to the 25th.
Yeah, well, training is a big thing, and we won't be training for, probably 7 or 8 days in the whole scheme of things, not from today, but from when we started. So, and then with the additional, we got 8 to 10 inches here the other day, and it's cold now. The one good thing is it's not heating up enough to freeze to melt a little bit and then to refreeze. So it's a powdery snow. I mean you can move it with a leaf blower, which is nice as far as that goes. Put it this way: if you're in Heavenly Valley right now or Vail, this is what you're looking for, that little top of powder. But on Wednesday, was today Wednesday? Yeah, today's Wednesday.
It's Tuesday.
Tonight and today Tuesday?
It's Tuesday. It's Fat Tuesday. Shrove Tuesday.
That's it. Okay. So tomorrow we're going to get, cabin fever. We're supposed to get another 8 inches between now and Thursday. So when if this was going to be it, maybe we could have snuck something in. But with that other storm coming, it's not going to warm up in time to get everything thawed out. And, this isn't just here. This is all over the, 70% of the country. If you look at a weather map, it's pretty wild, a lot of purples. And so that was definitely the right thing to do. Get it done early and, move things along. So, now that's 2 weeks without running, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. So some of the stakes are backed up, and an intermediate decision was made yesterday. So yes, we're going to run them all. This weekend, the immediate plan right now, I'm going to go in today and have some further discussions on exactly the days that the stakes are going to be run. Probably all be run on the weekend days, Saturday and Sunday. And that includes the Southwest, the Biocoa, the Razorback, the Dixie Belle, the Down the Dusty Road, and the Spring Fever. So there's 6 stakes backed up that we will run on the 27th and the 28th. And like I said, later today, come out with the exact schedule of which stakes on which day. And we're also altering the entry schedule just a little bit, moving a little closer to the event. So we're going to open up again on Thursday the 25th. And the way it's been, we've been taking them a week out. But we're going to go to Friday now. We'll take the 19th for the 25th, the 20th, Saturday for the Friday, and then wait till the next week on Tuesday, which is the 23rd, to take entries for the Saturday, and then Wednesday for the Sunday, just to kind of get a little closer to the event, see what's going on a little bit more for the weekend. So, good move, good quick move ahead of it, let everybody kind of adjust. And yeah, it's going to bring on a little different way for the horses, especially the 3-year-olds getting there. The Rebel, of course, is going to stay on the 13th, and so we've got some choices to make. You know, can run in the Southwest. You can run the Southwest and the Rebel. Wait for the Rebel, or you got to do it what you think is best. And rather than cancel the races, some of the races, you know, they're on the schedule. Oakland is very committed to running the races they promised to run, and that's what's going to happen.
Excellent. Well, it'll be interesting to see too if there's some outfits that, you know, seek to take advantage of the extra time. It wouldn't surprise if you get a couple of new names that hadn't necessarily been pointed in that direction.
No, especially with the weather being all over the place, different horses are in different stages of readiness. You're right. And, this could play into somebody's hand, no doubt. So we'll take it as it comes. And, I don't think the talent, like you mentioned, it doesn't happen very often here. I know you mentioned that article you sent around 1895. Well, a lot of these records are going down. From that 1895 storm, and they might get a little snow here. I don't think they're used to getting snow counted in feet, and to basically stay off the roads. I mean, I move my car Sunday. I live on the kind of a top of a hill, and where I am in my little condo here on the lake, you have to go up to get to the top of the hill and go down. And I was thinking, there's no way I'm getting up that hill if there's ice. So I moved it Sunday. I moved it to the bottom of the hill into a hotel parking lot off of Central. And later that night, I hear this ring, ring. Here's some guy was trying to get up the hill on a little sheet of ice, no bueno. And so I walked down to my car yesterday. It's a quarter mileish walk. And cleared it off, made sure it started. And I was kind of watching the traffic on Central Avenue. And there was hardly any. And it didn't look like the roads were really, plowed off like you and I know what a plowed off road is. So you can drive if you have to, and as it turns out, I'm going to head into the track today. I'm not driving. One of the girls in the office with a four-wheel drive, she's going to pick me up, so I got my own little Uber. But there's not a whole lot of activity in town, and that's the way it is all over the place. You're better off just staying in, and we're looking at staying in now until, with this new storm, until at least till Friday. So it's just the way it is. Luckily, we've had a lot of training with the COVID, kind of staying in, so it's not that big of a change. But it is when you look outside and it looks nice. The sun's out this morning and it's 0 degrees, so it's pretty wild.
The training aspect, Rick, obviously, with these temperatures, the track is frozen, so everybody is shed walking. I asked Steve Asmussen yesterday, and for him, the horses that he had intended to run in the weekend stakes, they're in New Orleans. So he said that they're free and clear in terms of training and adjusting, but for the locals, a little different scenario.
Well, right, and those are stake horses, but for the general population, you're right. They're just they're shed walking, and they'll do, everyone's the same, and a little different here than I want to say, a little different than in California. I mean, these horses, when they get fit, they don't need to work four or five times before they run again. So that's one good thing. So the sooner we can get the track open, hopefully, this weekend, and, get a good 4 or 5 days or 2, 3, 4 days of getting them out on the track before we run again, it would be the plan. Now, it's supposed to get to into the 40s on Saturday and then to the 50s on Sunday, and then, move along the merry way and stay warmer. And, the stuff goes away, and then it looks like it's going to rain next week, but we'll worry about that when we get there. But the temperatures, I think once we get through this, this rough period here, through Friday, temperatures will get up and we can, you know, run the meet as we go. No, we're going to miss 8 days. And so there's some talk right now with the horsemen and the commission about possibly adding a day or two. This is all just talk right now, but possibly adding a day or two through the rest of the meet and then throwing on some extra races, you know, when they fit too. So one thing about Oakland, they really want to run their dates in the races and give the horsemen all opportunity to run for the money.
Well, everybody will adjust. We certainly, after last year and, you know, with other in recent years, you know, what's gone on, you know, we had heat cancellations that we get on the East Coast. We've had the rain adjustments in California, and here's a new a new MO for now. With this winter storm.
Yeah, and you know, I got to give credit to, like I said, the horsemen and you know, the owners and everyone. No one really complains. I think what we've all gone through the past 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, whatever, we've kind of become immune to situations. You just deal with them, and, you know, everyone knows that that's what has to be done. There's no, you know, oh, you should have done this. It was been the right thing to do, and you know, every track has their own situations, and I think they've all been handled well. So we'll put this behind us, and you know, sure looks like the last couple of months here is going to be fired up. Now, remember, that's 8 days that we didn't run and 8 days of purse money that wasn't given away. So, you know, not really saying anything, but could be a nice last couple of months here. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it's I still can't get over being in this. If I'm ever in this temperature, you know, I'm usually in a room full of friends with a room full of skis and a bottle of Rumplemintz nearby. But to be in it, you know, with really nothing to do is pretty wild. But, you know, we wish everybody stay off the roads, be safe, and especially our friends down in Texas and Tennessee and Kentucky and, you know, close by here, it's the same thing. So it's, you know, it's nothing to mess around with. I mean, I get laughed at for all the stuff I bring on trips. Well, finally, guess what? It paid off. I got gloves. I got heavy jackets. I got boots. So I'm, you know what? I'm ready. So I go out. I have to go in about 10 minutes, go walk a half mile on this stuff and in the cold. And you know what? Bring it on. I'm looking forward to it. So, but anyway, be safe. Don't do anything stupid out there because, you know, don't do something stupid and put some rescue guy's life in danger. That's the way I look at it. You got to go somewhere. You got to do it. But otherwise, do the right thing.
Well, Hammer, I appreciate the update and keeping us informed about how things are going to unfold. And so we'll check in with you later in the week. You can handicap. You're going to be free and clear to to handicap whatever you want for the weekend.
Oh, believe me, I'll be all over Derby Wars these next few days. Thank God they have that. Had to take off. So I'll be contesting it all over Penn National, Charlestown, Sam Houston, whatever's running. We'll be looking at something. So that's one thing about racing. It continues on somewhere. So anyway, be safe. Good to talk to you. And alias Jim Cantore signing out from the Hot Springs weather station.
Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go. And Hammer's been providing visual updates to the status in Hot Springs. We'll take a break here, bottom of the hour, and as we're going to stress, it is one of our favorite days. February's great. We get our beginning of the month, we do our Groundhog Day activities, and then we get to Mardi Gras, which we love as well, and we'll be able to reach into our Zydeco. Kim Weir from TRF, too, in hour two. Andy Serling. Papo Morales is going to join us. And you know Papo from Amwager and from his regular inspiring tweets. Every morning he's got a thoughtful quote that kick your day off with either something uplifting or something that'll cheer you. We're going to talk to Papo, and as promised the last couple of weeks, start introducing Form to Win to you. And Papo's had a lot of success with it, and we want to kind of walk through some of the elements. So you can download it at any of the app stores, and we'll talk about how to use it to your advantage. Form to Win. Safi Joseph next. At the Races, Sirius XM, back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 388-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have...
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Home, home, homes ain't got no home. I know Paige Rose ain't got no home. I know Paige Rose. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home. I've got a boy.
We're back. Little Clarence, Frogman Henry. Start off some of the tributes to Nola and Mardi Gras kicking off. And I know it's going to be a subdued Mardi Gras. No parades. All the parades were canceled. But I guess the parade floats are being, they're spread all over town and all lit up and displayed. So they're still going to make the most of it. Certainly Safi Joseph is making the most of it with the horses and the stakes calendar at Gulfstream last week. Drained the clock with a super impressive effort, winning the Swale and kind of setting himself up for more as the three-year-old opportunities unfold. And then on Saturday past, in the Gulfstream Sprint, Mischievous Alex, and granted, field was small and it was expected, but the way he did it was really stylish and kind of setting himself up for a lot to say about the sprint scene this year. Safi, congratulations to you and the clients.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much.
Let's start actually with Saturday. Then we'll go back to drain the clock. And you know, I mischievous Alex, this, you know, 2-5. You know, you're kind of expecting a dominant win, but this has to be pretty encouraging. I mean, it seems like you're getting a chance to go out there and just tune him finally for the bigger challenges to come.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, it was a second race for us and the second race on his comeback of his 4-year-old campaign, and we thought he did it as well as you could ask him. He's a horse that has speed, and he stays a 6-foot long strongly, so he has two good attributes that are hard to beat.
Well, and, you know, this is his second consecutive try at 6 furlongs. Last year, a lot more 7/8 and mile opportunities, and, you know, there's some 7/8 that are lying ahead, including the Carter, which we'll talk about. But, you know, I watched on Saturday, and I saw you talked to Acacia after the race as well, and, you know, you talked about getting the horse in, and, you know, John Service had him through the Alan Jerkins try, which ended his 3-year-old year. Talk about, you know, getting him into you, and you know, what, how much work went into him on your end, and evaluating him, and getting him ready for his 4-year-old year.
Well, we had some from horses with Chuck of Cassius King and Glenn Bennett, LC Racing, and they mentioned that they were going to send him to us, and we were very thankful of that. He went for a break to Barry Eisenman, and once he came in from Barry, he came in great shape, and to be honest, we didn't have to do much. I mean, when the horse has that kind of talent, you're just hoping he could run as well as for you as he did for John, and so far he has, and we're thankful of that.
You know, Safi, it's interesting, too. You keep him at Gulfstream, and you're looking at the string of works. A horse this fast, you know, sometimes they're tough to control in the morning, and you see, you know, really sharp works. He's had what seems to be, you know, a very solid set of preparations, but nothing, you know, no 58 and change, no 59 flats. You know, it seems like he's, you know, very manageable for a horse that's this quick.
Yes, he is. For a horse that has all that speed, and he does what you want, and he's not an overdoer. You actually have to sometimes ask him to do a bit more because he's a bit lazy in that aspect. If you put him in company, he'll do as much as you want, but by himself, he's very easy and manageable. He'll actually, if you don't ask him, he'll actually make it go a little too slow.
Yeah, you can see it. I mean, he doesn't have any bullets, you know, some near bullets, a minute and a tick, a minute flat, a minute and 4:48 flat, a minute and 1. It you know, it's really, it seems like he's, you know, easy to handle, and, you know, after that return in the allowance with the 103 buyer sets him up for this effort. You know, talk about, you know, the way you and Chuck and Glenn have discussed laying out the campaign going forward.
Well, the goal this year is to hopefully try to win a grade one of them, and maybe more than one if possible. The Carter is on the radar, and then the Dubai Sprint is the Golden Shaheen is also possible. We spoke about it briefly yesterday, and we're probably going to wait another a week to 2 weeks before we come up with a decision of what we're going to do. But that's, I would say, one of those two races are going to be the next race where he runs in.
Well, and the Carter, of course, 7/8, Golden Shaheen, 6, if you go to Dubai end of March. And, you know, that, I don't know. It feels like staying home, and, you know, without having to, you know, having to ship halfway across the world, you know, to win a race like the Carter, feels like the, you know, the easier of the two decisions.
No, most definitely. Anytime you don't have to ship on, I mean, it will be a ship, but it's not a ship like Dubai. It's always easier on the horse, and if you go to Dubai, it's going to take a few months to get him back to run, so that's on the back of our minds also, but nothing's decided yet, and we're going to probably do that in 2 weeks or so.
I haven't talked to Chuck Zachney in a while, and Chuck might be a good visit to talk about, you know, buying this colt for $75,000. And, you know, it, into mischief out of the Spitestown mare, there had to be a lot to like from a pedigree standpoint, and feels like, you know, he's really been a tremendous bargain.
He's been a great buy so far for Chuck, and they bought some good horses. I remember growing up in Barbados watching Sweet Alex in those races, and he's had Catherine Superior, so he's had many good horses through the years, and we're thankful that we're able to train for him now.
Well, and you mentioned Barry Eisenman, and this I think he started. Yeah, he started. Actually, he was actually interesting. He ended up. That's interesting. It was Eisenman that bought him for $75,000 as a yearling at Keeneland, and then he RNA'd. So he was as a 2 year old at OBS April. So this ended up being a private purchase.
Yeah, Chuck and them bought him from Barry, and from the story that they've told me, that Barry had liked him and told him this horse may not attract attention as a horse to watch, and I think they watched him breeze on the farm before he went to the OBS sale, and they paid attention to him, and they bought him.
Interesting. Well, it just shows you can all different ways to, you know, to get involved with a good horse. And of course he had won the Swale last year, and so you know, in a roundabout way you're connected to two straight Swale wins, because Drain the Clock last Saturday. Let's talk about the McLean's Music Colt that Nick Casada bred, and this is a nice group of owners involved with Nick and the Slam Dunk team, and Sal Cuman and Matticat, Wonder Stables, and Michael Netwing. Talk about Drain the Clock, because that was impressive.
Yeah, he won last week. He won the Swale as nice as he could ask. He's a horse that showed talent. He's homebred from Nick. Came in and showed talent from his first breeze, basically. And we had him entered on the turf first time out, just because it was easier to get him started. It rained off. He won on the dirt, so we just kept him there after that, as we were always going to give dirt a try.
Yeah, little.
It says broken iron, but actually, his boot grips and he lost his balance. So, other than that, that's he's basically unbeaten. And I thought the Swale was visually as nice as you could ask him to win a race.
No doubt, and this also in some similarities in terms of running style, Safi. Drain the Clock, you know, equally fast. This is, you know, as you mentioned, four wins in the four races. You put a line through the Jean Lafitte try at Delta for, you know, as you explained. But he is also a horse with speed that, you know, that isn't a runoff at all.
No, if you don't, he's a funny, tricky, the only time, when you work him in company, you know he's a really good horse. If you're working by himself, he could deceive you. Even when he gallops just so quiet and so relaxed that you couldn't tell how good he is. And then when you put him with a horse, then you know, wow, he can run.
And you had had, you know, going back to the stories from last week, he had a colic bout through the wind, before the race.
Yeah, 12 to around 12 days before the race, he got the colicky one afternoon around 4 to 5 in the afternoon, and the vets were there, and we thought we were making progress through the night, 7, 9 o'clock, and then every time we made a few steps forward, we made steps backwards, and at 1:30 in the morning, we decided that there was nothing else we could do, we have to take him to the clinic, and thankfully he went to the clinic, he arrived there, and all seemed to be well, so he was able to come back in 2 days. But once we got him back, you can't throw too much feed into him again, because he's just coming off of, he was colicky, so he didn't really get much grain for another 2 days. And to see him come and win like that, it's pretty gratifying. I mean, we had to push back his breeze, obviously, and there was no pressure to run him, but we pushed it back to 4 days before the race, and we said if he worked good and everything seemed well, we'll take a shot on. He's just a good horse that he was able to overcome it.
wins off by a half a dozen. Edgar Zayas aboard, and there's some little bit of chatter about stretching him out. What are your thoughts going forward?
I think talking to everyone that we're going to give it a try now. Before it wasn't really like something that we had. We just wanted to get through the swale first, and the swale was going to give us an indication of if we should or if we shouldn't. And we haven't seen any reason not to. I would say the next race is probably going to be between the Fountain and Youth and the Gotham. We haven't decided yet, but I think he'll go a mile and 16. I don't see any reason he wouldn't go a mile and 16 or the Gotham one turn mile. I think that's well within his reason. I mean, you're talking a mile and a quarter. That's a bit of a ways. And the next race, each race will give us a better judgment of what we think he can do.
Well, the way he won this, and this, of course, 7/8 the swale. So the one turn mile does feel like a natural, and frankly, that race could end up being a pretty serious group. Not that the Fountain's going to be as well. Knowing who's headed in all these directions, but exciting. And I love that that Nick bred this horse. That's part of the kind of a fun story.
Yes, most definitely. Nick's always, he owns a lot of good horses at Slam Dunk Racing. But to have one that the homebred is very special to him.
And you mentioned how that first race you were ready to put him on turf, and the McLean's Musics can go either way, but it's out of he's out of a an arch mare, so
they're.
Yeah, there's plenty of turf, but for now he'll stay on the dirt. And I should ask too, Safi. He's a May foal, so how much in terms of growthiness? I mean, how far along is he in terms of his growth cycle?
He's really grown. I mean, when he first came in, I sent Nick a video of him coming off the van, and his mom's name Mankey, so it sounds like my assistant was calling him Monkey, and he was a pretty small colt, but he really shot up. He's turned into a big colt now. He has a lot of leg to him, and he's a good looking horse. I mean, he's grown into a very good looking colt.
Now, the McLean's Musics are doing everything, and of course, available at Hill and Dale, and happy to watch the progress with Drain the Clock. So the two stake winners the last two Saturdays for Safi Joseph and team, and let's actually take a couple of minutes to Safi and hit on a few other potential stable stars, and that Shackleford filly on Sunday I got to bring up for John Fort, the Champagne Ivy, boy, it feels like it feels like she could have won any of her starts. What's it going to take to break her through?
I mean, she's running well. Obviously, she's running the Todd's Philly to start before, who looks like very special. And this race again, she ran well. I mean, Shook's Philly was a first timer that probably was going to be the best horse on the day. Obviously, got DQ'd, but it was working well. So I mean, they must have thought a lot of it. I think she just met good horses, and she's still learning too. I feel like she'll become a stakes winner in the future, and she's progressing the right way.
She's a Shackleford filly out of the Street Cry Mare, Champagne Ivy. Keep an eye on this one. Came from Darby Dan, and it has now got 3 seconds and a third in her four career starts, and as Safi mentioned, has run into some nice horses. Let's also talk about a couple of things coming up, and you really got your feet, Safi, in both ends, from the claiming side straight up to the stake side. Talk a little bit about maybe one of the allowance starters, Daddy's Joy, coming up on Friday at Gulfstream.
Yeah, Daddy's Joy, and that's a slam dunk horse on my racehorse. She's run well for us. We stretched her last time to a mile and 16, but she just got beat. The reason she's backing at 5/8 is that we can't get the race to go on. It's been we've been going on almost 3 weeks that we can't get the distance Florida bred race to go. And talking it over with Nick, we said she's won at 5/8 already for us. We said we'll give her a try back at 5/8, and I think she'll run well. I feel like she's better if she can get into the rhythm of going 7.5 or a mile. That would have been an ideal race, but due to circumstances, we have to give her a go here.
Nice. Let's get a couple of updates too about some of the other nice names in the barn. And you tried Awesome Jerry in the Holy Bull, and Coach Jer's Joy in the Forward Gal, going back to the end of January. Where are you coming out with those two?
Yeah, Awesome Jerry was disappointed that day. Actually, thought he was coming up a third in Mucho Macho Man. Felt like he was gonna run a big race. He showed every indication he would, and he didn't. So it was a disappointing result. We're going to regroup, probably give him one more try somewhere. We haven't decided exactly where yet on one of the Derby trails, and that's it for him. Coach Jerry's Joy, she was a filly that won her maiden first time out at Gulfstream Port West. Figures came back slow, but always saw a lot of her, and actually went to Delta for a stake, but she got sick when she was there, so we brought her back. Didn't run, and took a shot in the forward gal because we think she's that kind of filly. I know the numbers didn't fit in, but she ran well. She got beat like 3.5 length. Again, the figures came back pretty slow for that race, but we feel like she's a filly that can go on to be hopefully a stakes winner this year. We may go back to allowance next time with her and try to get through that step before going back into stakes company.
Nice. And I suppose I should also get a chance, because we didn't talk either in January, but some reflection on Math Wizard.
Yeah, Math Wizard, he's always run a, he's an overachiever, and he's always run where he's always 15-1, 20-1. He's always running tough races, basically. And his form has got dirty recently, and we all talked it over. We've aimed him ambitiously. Now is the time to step back and put him in a spot where he can be a favorite or a second favorite. Give him a chance to get back some confidence. And I think that's what we're going to do. Where yet, we haven't decided, but that's probably where we're going to be, allowance or a small stake somewhere else. We're going to go back, take a step back.
He has not worked back out of the Pegasus. I mean, is he getting a little bit of a freshening, or is he in the barn?
He's gonna work this week. No, coming Sunday.
Okay. Well, it's one of those difficult equations, Safi, when you look at his year last year and through the Pegasus, because it's not like he ran, badly. He was in some of the top races, time and time again. And, there's opportunity for a horse like this. And sometimes having to build them back up is the right formula.
Yeah. I mean, last year, if you go back to his races, well, he shipped to Dubai for the Dubai World Cup coronavirus. He got canceled. He had to ship all the way back. Put him in a stake to get a race into him, and then we ran to Mama for the Mama Cup, and he ran big. That was his best race last year. I think it was his career best race on the figures. He ran second in a Global Campaign.
That's right.
Actually, looked like he was going to beat him, and then Global Campaign re-rallied and beat him on length. Global Campaign went on to prove that he was a legit horse.
Yep.
We decided to go to Charlestown after. I mean, and he was disappointed at Charlestown, and then I think I made a mistake, got carried away. Came on that race well, and I brought him back quick at Saratoga. I think that was in hindsight, like if I could have done it over, I wouldn't have done that. But you live and you learn.
Now, and the Woodward, that Charlestown race, the money's great, and it's such an unusual circumstance to go the mile in the eighth, the three turns, and it's. Seems like it's worth trying, and he was second choice that day too, or third choice, and you don't know, and then you do wonder if the configuration throws a horse off a little bit. It's also a funky surface at Charlestown.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons to go there. We figured we would be like one of the fancied runners, and if you break down the race now, the race turned out to be a productive race because Sleepy Ice, Todd, he was kind of unknown into that race, and he came back to show that he was legit. I mean, so it wasn't a bad race either. I mean, so seeing what Sleepy Ice thought had gone on to do.
Absolutely. Well, Safi, a lot of good things happening. Got a steady parade of. There's still some. Feels like there's still a few 3 year olds that are going to have to break through yet. And anybody unraced that you've yet to debut that you're excited about?
Not unraced. There's a horse named Collaborate. I ran him first time out. He's owned by E5 Racing and Three Chimneys. He's an Intermischief. He ran first time out. I think he's a really good horse. The track came out sloppy. I thought he handled the track, but he broke a bit slow. Found himself a bit behind and made up ground steadily, not fast enough. Wasn't beaten far. He was beaten like a length and a half. I think he's a really good horse. Collaborate is his name. And he's probably going to run back on Fountain and Youth Day in the maiden special going a mile.
Wow, we'll watch. We'll watch for him. Collaborate, and boy, nice to have these Intermischiefs. This was actually a Three Chimneys bred, and out of Quiet Temper. Quite nice. All right, so Quiet Temper was Dale Romans, and she was a nice race mare. Excellent. Collaborate.
Yeah, she was a great stakes winner.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mark Stanley. Excellent. Well, Safi, time well spent. I appreciate the chance to get back with you today, and it feels like it's going to be a good year. You seem well positioned.
Yes, I mean, we got the owners supporting us, and that's what, as a trainer, you're as good as your owners, basically. You need the horses, and the owners are the ones that provide the horses. We're thankful to all our owners. We've got them in all different categories as far as claiming stakes and that's what makes us whole, basically.
No doubt about it. Safi Joseph, everybody, and Drain the Clock, who's going to get a chance to go a little bit longer, maybe one step with the Gotham or step and a half when it comes to the Fountain, and Mischievous Alex, who's clearly positioned to be a major sprint player in the 2021 season. Thanks to Safi, and you can follow Safi on Twitter. I don't know if I see a lot of tweeting from Safi, but it's Safi Joseph Jr., and always a pleasure. Safi, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Steve. Take care.
Talk soon. Safi Joseph, and a big couple of performances, and a horse to watch, clearly. Collaborate. And I'm going to have to, we're going to head to the break, actually, but I want to pull up Quiet Temper. I can certainly remember talking to Dale about Quiet Temper many times, several times. Back after this, though, hour two, and Woodbury is going to join us, as promised, as threatened. Woody Payne after Kim Weir from TRF. TRF's got a nice function coming, and been a couple months since we talked to Kim. So let's get her in here. And Woodbury to talk about the bits. And if you heard Woodbury years ago when we had this conversation, and I'm pretty sure Vijack was the horse that triggered it, because, you know, people were seeing the pictures of the, I'm pretty sure he was in the Martingale bit. And so we had Woodbury come in and kind of go through the options and how horsemen make adjustments and the reasons they make adjustments and what the benefit is and you know, control, better control, and, you know, the various issues that a bit change can address. So Woodbury Payne, and I haven't talked to Wood in ages, actually, so it's a good opportunity to catch up. And of course, Wood, Ingleside Training Center, and Woodbury preparing young horses for their careers. And, you know, the whole Virginia certification program, which has been, you know, so good for everybody throughout Virginia. Back after this, though, Kim Weir joins us, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Stay with us.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents